remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17. Amen. Appreciate that song. Thank you, brother. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise God for our Heavenly Father and His great faithfulness. Matthew chapter 17 is where we'll take our text and preach a thought that's on our heart here that I hope will be a blessing to you. The Bible starts out here in verse number 14. We'll read down through verse 21, reading it responsively. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, hence remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. We'll stop there in verse number 21. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer there, brother? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate that prayer, Brother Jacob. Amen. Well, this is Father's Day, and I generally, I haven't always, but most always, on a holiday, try to preach something along that line. My dad said years ago, I think he's right, that people's thoughts are already there, and sometimes it's hard to jerk their thoughts away from what they're already thinking about and direct them in a different direction. If you can take them, they're already in that direction, and lead them forward in it to bring glory for God, I think it's wise. I do believe that's right. And so we're thinking about fathers, and we're looking in this story about a father that had a son with a need. And so I want to deal with that this morning. Here's my thought. I'm preaching with from this title, How a Father Gets Help for His Son. How a Father Gets Help for His Son. I almost titled it How a Father or Dad Got Help, because he got it. But this is how you get it. It worked then, and it'll work now. I believe it's the same principles. Amen. And so I want to look at this not only to instruct fathers, but hopefully to encourage fathers about getting to Jesus and getting help for our family. Amen. Now, in our text, before Jesus rebuked the devil in verse number 18, he addressed the faithless and perverse generation in verse 17. Do you notice that? Before he rebuked the devil, he rebuked the crowd, the generation. Not just the father, that whole crowd there, I believe. I'll say more about that when I get to that verse in my point. But I think likewise myself, rather, before I deal with the doctrine of the scriptures about this father getting help, I need to address this faithless and perverse generation we're living in. If there's ever a day we lived in a place of doubters, it's today. I'm talking about doubting things of God. Now, some people are sure there's a Bigfoot, but they're not sure there's a God. They're sure there's life on Mars, but they're not sure there's a God. They're sure Elvis is still living, working at a 7-Eleven somewhere. But they're not sure there's a God. It's a day of unbelief. A faithless and perverse. Now I'm telling you, there's never been a generation more perverse than this one. Perverts taking control of this generation. Amen. So I feel like I need to address this generation. We're living in a day, I've already said that fatherhood and motherhood are denigrated. They're denounced. They're belittled rather than blessed, rather than celebrated, rather than encouraged. They try to tear those things down. But I think I said this on Mother's Day, if not this time, I know I have before, that any woman, just about any woman, can birth a baby. But it takes a special woman to love and care for a child, be a mother. Amen. Same thing. Just about any male can produce a child, but it takes a special man with love and devotion to be a father, to be a daddy. Amen. To be a good father. Amen. Now, we're living in a generation of men more than women. I think I can see it, and I could preach on the women, but I did that on Mother's Day, so it's the men's turn now. But we're living in a generation, particularly of fathers, or of men, that a lot of men never grow up. They stay a boy their whole life. I knew this, but I didn't know if it was official or not. I looked it up to see. There is an official psychological malady called Peter Pan syndrome. You know, you remember the story of Peter Pan? Disney made it famous. He didn't write it. The story was written in 1904, I believe it was. I forgot the man's name that wrote Peter Pan. But Peter Pan was an imaginary boy, of course, but lived in Never Never Land where you never grew up. That was the plan of it. And stayed a child his whole life. Well, there's this psychological term called Peter Pan syndrome. They say that it is caused by overprotective parents. Never allow their son to grow up. Documented symptoms. I listed them. Documented symptoms. Low motivation. Lack of interest in work. Trouble with commitment. Being unreliable. Difficulty making decisions, emotional instability, lack of accountability and blaming of others, shortcomings in personal growth, feeling distant from father but exceptionally close to mother. Those are signs of what they have termed Peter Pan syndrome. These individuals, this is not actually a quote, but I took these things out practically word for word from the internet. These individuals usually have social problems, especially have problems with committed relationships. They have employment problems, again, stemming from poor relationship abilities, professional relationship abilities. But these things can be overcome. They say there's no documented treatment, but therapy is that these things can be overcome by a consistent effort and a determination, now get this, to be a man. Brother Jacob said it this morning, and he was right about it, and I remember how it happened with me. There's something about when that first child is born that there is a weight that comes down on your shoulders that says, all right, boy, now it's time to be a man. I don't think it has to wait till you have a child. There's some, matter of fact, there's some young men that haven't had children yet that need to quit being a child, need to be a man. But especially when that child comes into the world. But we got a lot of people, they've got children, but they're not being a man towards those children. They're a child themselves. They're very childish themselves. That's right. And we see that all over and over and over. But anyway, I wrote down some of these websites that I got this information from. Google.com, MedicalNewsToday.com, ChoosingTherapy.com, Study.com, GoodRx.com, and of course Wikipedia.org. You can find this information. There's books that are written about it and things that go along with that. But I do believe that many of these documented psychological problem. I guess that's the only way. What today is being documented as a psychological problem that's plaguing mankind today, I believe many of these are spirit related. Spirit related. They're demonic in nature. Right. If the story that I read to you in Matthew chapter 17 took place today, the father would not have called his son a lunatic. By the way, you say, how dare a man call his son a lunatic? He is diagnosing the problem correctly. He's not belittling his son. That's not a slam on his son. He's just properly diagnosing, my son's got a real issue. But today they wouldn't call him a lunatic. They wouldn't say that he's devil-possessed. They'd say he's got some psychological malfunction. That's exactly, maybe a chemical imbalance. And I'm not saying those things are not real. But I'm just simply saying that today a lot of people will not admit that it is a spiritual problem that is in their mind. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe that Jesus can solve these demonic problems today just like he did back then. I believe he can solve these psychological problems today just like he did back then. Amen. Amen. Now, walk with me through these verses, if you will. I'll try not to be long. It's already just a minute or two after 12. I'll try not to be real long with you. Give you these thoughts. It's on my mind. I think I got 6 points in my outline today. And I'll deal most with these first two or three. All right. Number one, I want you to notice verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, look at this phrase, there came to him, to Jesus, a certain man kneeling down to him and saying. So first point is, this dad came to Jesus. That's step number one. If your son's got a problem, you know what he needs more than anything? He needs daddy to get some help. He needs daddy to get to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Most children don't come to Jesus unless daddy comes to Jesus. If daddy don't see church as important, most of the time the sons don't either. Daddy don't see the need to have prayer time, Bible reading, devotional life, spiritual life. If daddy don't see the need, 9 times out of 10, neither do the sons. And so the very first step is for dad to get serious with God. Amen. If dad never bows his knee to the Savior or bows his knee to the Lord, many times there's a chance the son won't either. But if dad does bow his knee, there's a good chance the son will too. Amen. This dad came running to Jesus. Amen. He bowed to Jesus and he called on Jesus. Now, some men think it's not masculine to go to church. Oh, it's a lot more masculine to go to the creek bank or the pond on Sunday and go fishing. Or it's a lot more masculine to go camping. Or it's a lot more masculine to do something outdoors or something, any number of things on the Lord's Day rather than going to church. But if your boy has a spiritual need, I'd advise you to get to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd advise you to go to the Lord for yourself. Bow your knee to Jesus, and then you can call on the Lord for help for your son. Amen. This same story that I read here in Matthew 17 is repeated in Mark and Luke. You know, they're called the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record many of the same stories. In Matthew, it's 17, chapter 17. In Mark and Luke, it's chapter 9. In Mark gives a lot more detail. Luke gives even less detail than Matthew does. But Mark gives a lot more detail. And in Mark's gospel, when he bows to the Lord, first he mentions his son. Then he says to this, he says, if thou can do anything, have mercy on us. Not just him, on me and him. Amen. Not just on me, not just on him, but on us, on both of us. We need help from the Lord. So again, I say to the Father, if you've got a child with a need, best thing for you to do is for you to get to God, and then you can call on him to ask for help for your child. Amen. Not only This man came through the crowd, by the way. He got through the crowd. There's a crowd there. If you know the context of the story, every one of the Gospels give it the same, that they've been up on the, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, left the nine disciples down at the bottom of the hill. They go up on that mountain and Jesus is transfigured before them, transformed. They see him not just in his human body, but they see the glory coming out of him. Amen. And God from heaven speaking, Elijah and Moses there talking with him, but God from heaven speaking said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." They saw all that, and then they come down the mountain, and I believe it's Mark that says there was a multitude there. Matthew says they came back to the multitude, but one of the Gospels talk about that there was a disturbance among the multitude. There was scribes and Pharisees there. They were mocking these disciples. And there were disciples there trying to help this man that, who was not getting help. Say more about that in a moment. But here's this man. He not only went through the crowd, he went through the crowd to get to Jesus. When he got to Jesus, he bowed his knee. Amen. Amen. He came kneeling down, the Bible said, and calling out to Jesus. Amen. There was a diverse crowd of people there that day. This man may or may not have been intimidated by that crowd. He wanted help for his son. He didn't care what anybody in the crowd said. He didn't care what anybody in the crowd did. He's going to press through the crowd. He don't care if they look. He don't care if they laugh. He's going to bow his knee. And he's going to ask for help for himself and for his son. Amen. There were some in that crowd who only came to mock. There were some in that crowd who didn't believe. There were some in that crowd that only came to find fault. You ever heard people say, "Well, I don't go to church because I don't like being around all them hypocrites." Well, this fellow said, "Hypocrite or no hypocrite, I'm going where Jesus is, and I'm going to get some help." Amen. One guy said this, I think he's right, "Quit looking at the hypocrites and look at God." Amen. 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 I remember hearing an older preacher, and I'll just run this rabbit a moment, older preacher inviting a fellow to come to church, and a guy says, Brother Woodrow Wishon, he's passed away now, preached for me at Vision. Brother Wishon, he said, "Are there hypocrites at your church?" He said, "I'm sure there are, but there's room for one more. Come on." The guy said, "Well," he said, "I would come, but," he said, "I always sit on the back, and I just don't like looking up there and seeing all them hypocrites." And Brother Wishon said, "Well, you come sit on the front. Let them hypocrites look at you." Yeah. Amen. But you go to Walmart with hypocrites. You go to Dollar General, we don't just pick on Walmart, Brother Ricky. You go to Dollar General with hypocrites. Amen. You go to the grocery store with hypocrites. You may live in a home with hypocrites. Don't let the hypocrites keep you from getting to Jesus. You can press through the crowd and you can get to God. Amen. That's what this fellow did. Amen. He found the Lord. His son had a need and he was focused on their need. He was focused on getting to Jesus, getting down there to get some help from the Lord. Amen. This dad came to Jesus. Verse number 15. Secondly, this dad confessed to Jesus. "Lord," verse 15, "have mercy on my son. For he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water." This man we're looking at in this text loves his son. But he knows that he can't whitewash the drastic need that his son has. That he can't just cover over or just skip over the great need that his son has. So he tells it to Jesus. Amen. You remember the woman that came in the book of Mark that came and crawled up to Jesus, touched the hem of his garment? And the Bible said, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And long story short, the Bible says the woman told him all the truth. Brother Hardin said, "Tell it to Jesus." But he said, when you're telling it to Jesus, tell it all to him. Amen. And tell him the truth about it all. Amen. This man told his Lord, his son's trouble, not just a little bit. He told how drastic it is. He's a lunatic. He's fallen into the fire and he's fallen into the water. Amen. He tells Jesus all the truth. And he pleads for mercy. He says he's, look at verse 15 again. He is lunatic and sore vexed. Now, he didn't say he is a lunatic. He says he is lunatic. He is sore vexed. This dad doesn't declare here in Matthew that his son's got a devil. He doesn't say he's got a devil. He says he's got a mental illness. That's what lunatic deals with. Deals with the word lunatic is Strong's number 4583. It means moonstruck. People that work in the medical business will tell you that when the moon is full, people's minds and their behavior is different. People that have behavioral problems, people that have mental problems, when the moon's in certain phases, their illness is in more progress. I don't understand all of that entirely. I think there's a deep meaning to all that. Matter of fact, I think there's a lot of symbolic meaning to all that. But he says he is moonstruck or he's crazy. That's what, if you look up Strong's, that's what it means. Moonstruck or crazy. That is crazy. He's crazy. And then the phrase sore vexed means to be badly or miserably suffering. This father tells Jesus that the case of his son is not something trivial. Oh, how often we fall prey to trivializing the drastic needs of those in our family. Amen. We trivialize the problems of our children. Oh, it's just a phase. Well, maybe a phase of the moon. Oh, it's just a phase. Oh, it's just a stage. We better be careful how we trivialize or minimize the real troubles of our children. This man confessed to Jesus about his son. He said his son acts like he's lost his mind. That's what he's talking about. That's what crazy there means. He's lost his mind. Can't think straight. He says that sometimes there's times that, well, he said he's sore vexed. That's, he's even miserable with himself. You ever thought about that? Miserable with himself. We're living in a day of people that are full of hatred. Not just about one thing. They hate everything. Yeah. There's people that hate everything. They hate their parents. They hate their school. They hate their chores. They hate their clothes. Some of them even get to the point they hate themselves. They hate life. They hate their body. They hate their life. They're sore vexed. In other words, they're suffering miserably. Listen, I'm not minimizing that. I'm trying to help us see there's people that are in drastic need of help from the Lord. Amen. And by the way, don't think that I don't believe that medication can be helpful. I'm thankful for the medication that can help. But I'm going to tell you when medication can't help, there's one that can. Amen. The Lord Jesus, that's where he came to and that's where he got his help from. This is how a man can get help or a father get help for his son. Now think about this crowd today. I'm talking about that hate everything. They may live in a fine house. They may ride around in a fancy car. They may wear fashionable clothing. They may have a loving father and mother. They've got whatever they want to eat. They've got all these things that are out there before them and yet they're miserable. What are they miserable about? Themselves. They're angry. They may well be devil possessed. That's what he says about this young man. Now I mentioned this account's found in Matthew and Luke, or Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark and Luke is chapter number 9. In Mark's account, this father tells Jesus that this son has a dumb spirit. Dumb, not as in crazy, but dumb as in don't speak. Yeah. It looks as if, in Mark's gospel at least, it looks as if this man knew that his son had some kind of an evil spirit. He at least knew this was an evil attitude. Here's the attitude. He won't talk to me. You ever seen young people? Saul up. That's not a good spirit. It could be a bad, evil spirit. They won't talk. He won't talk to me. Not only that, Jesus, when he rebuked it, he said, thou deaf and dumb spirit. It didn't mean that the spirit was deaf or dumb. But the Spirit was causing him to be deaf and dumb. Here's like, not only he won't talk to me, he won't listen to me. What is that? It's an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit. Amen. I'm not saying that every time a boy or a girl refuses to listen to their parents or to talk to their parents, that they have a devil. But I am saying that that's a bad attitude. It could well be a foul spirit. That's what this one's called in one of the Gospels. It's called an evil spirit. It's called an unclean spirit. Amen. I'll say this. Parents ought to know their children well enough to notice when they stop listening and when they stop talking. Amen. This father said to my son, has a deaf and dumb spirit. He won't talk to me. He won't listen to me. And what do you do when they get there? I'll tell you what you better do. Run to Jesus for help. Run to Jesus. Amen. Notice that the last thing that verse number 16 says about this. No, I'm in verse 15. The last thing that he says in verse 15. For oft times he falleth into the fire and into the water. Mark says that the devil thrust him into the fire and into the water. So I looked that word up. That word falleth. Falleth is Strong's number 4098, and it means alighting, jumping, leaping. Thrusting would be one of the ideas. You remember all through the Bible it talks about somebody and it said they fell on him with the sword or falling on him with the sword. What does that mean? That means they thrust it. That means they jumped, they leaped towards him with their sword. Here's what happens, this devil. This devil is forcing this child to be suicidal. This falling in the fire is self-harm. By the way, when children start cutting themselves, when children start burning themselves, when children start manifesting those behaviors, that's not godly behavior. That's not a godly spirit. That's an ungodly spirit. What do they need? They need mom and daddy to get to God. That's what they need. A lot of children today, we know, they've got cutters, like I said, the burners, all these different self-mutilation. By the way, I believe that goes on to piercings and tattooing and all that, body mutilation. 9 times out of 10, what those children are doing is trying to get mom and daddy to notice them. You know one of the reasons they quit talking to you? Because you hadn't been talking to them. You know one of the reasons they quit listening to you? Because you hadn't been listening to them. Yeah. They're trying to give you a little bit of your own medicine. By the way, it's demonic. They're supposed to obey you and they're supposed to honor you. Right? Amen. But the point is, a lot of these in our world today, this is happening. We've got cutters and we've got burners and people that are mutilating and hurting their own body. Why are they doing that? They want mom and daddy's attention, but here's what's really lacking. They're lacking, mom and daddy's lacking the attention of the Lord. Very few children that grow up in church that mom and daddy loves God and walks with God go through those things. I'm not saying it can't happen. It can happen. I'm just saying it don't happen near as rapidly as those out there in the world where daddy's playing golf all the time and mama's running shopping all the time and the kids left home on their own all the time. Right. Listen to these influencers on TikTok and YouTube and all these other things. Amen now. And I could chase that rabbit a long way. I am scared to death of the trend today of putting screens in front of our children. They can't drive from here to the supermarket without some kind of a movie going on. Some kind of influence. I said this down there at Paducah when I preached Friday, that this, when I was in the 1980s, when I was a young person in the 80s, they told us, and they were right about it, they told us rock music is allowing devils to come into people because you're not thinking about what you're listening to. You're receiving a spirit that you don't even recognize. Movies do the same thing, by the way. Right. But you know those little kiddie movies? You know what the music they're playing behind them? Those little games that they're playing. You know what music they're playing behind them? Now, if it's hard on a teenager's mentality when rock music's played, wonder what when a toddler is steeped in that. Right? when the boom box is boom, boom, boom. What's that doing to the toddler? Oh, it scares me to death. No wonder we're having so much demonic influence among young people today. I said it the other day, and I'm convinced that I've seen light on this, that Brother Sammy said it, and I go back to him, give him credit for it. He said that when Jesus came the first time, demonic activity had picked up, was at an all-time high. And he said, I believe when he comes the second time, there'll be a demonic activity at an all-time high. And it dawned on me, nobody told me this, it just dawned on me that when I read through the Gospels, that you never, never one time hear of anybody coming to Jesus and saying, pray for my grandparents, they've got a devil. Nobody ever said my grandma's got a devil and my grandpa's got... Nobody ever said my spouse has got one. Nobody came to Jesus about an adult with a demonic problem. Now, the Gadarene demoniac came on his own. Right. And he was a grown man. But I wonder if you ask him, like Jesus asked this man, how long has this been? He said, since a child. I believe, by the way, don't be surprised that the sodomites are after our children. That's demonic. The transgenders are after our children. That's demonic. Right. That Disney and Hulu and whatever all those things are. Again, I just name what I know about. Those things are after our children. You know why? It's demonic. Daddies need to stand up and say, I'm going to Jesus and getting some help from my Lord. I need Jesus to get the devil out of my son. Amen. Amen. He didn't beat the devil out of him. He went to Jesus and got Jesus to get the devil out of him. Amen. Now, maybe if he'd have whipped him right to start with, he might not have got down that road. I don't know. I'm not saying you don't whip them, but I am saying there's some things whippings won't take care of. You're going to have to get to Jesus. This young man was suicidal. He was leaping into the water. He was leaping into the fire, trying to harm himself. By the way, that's not natural. Amen. When I was in college, I went to secular college. I just went 1 year. And when I was in college, I took a class, just one psychology class. Really, it was just for, I wasn't thinking about being a preacher. I was actually running from the call to preach. I didn't take it to know those things about that. I really just took it as just fun, I guess you'd say. But in that, one of the most powerful drives in a human being, every human being, is the drive to survive. The will to live. And when you get to the point that you want to end it all, that's not God. And that's not you. It's not natural. I'm going to tell you who can help you. God can help you. You may not be able to help yourself. You may, and you may not. But if you get to Jesus, Jesus can help you. I say it, I've said it before, and I believe it's right. Jesus never met a devil that he couldn't handle. These disciples met one they couldn't handle. They couldn't handle him. But Jesus never met a devil he couldn't handle. Amen. Amen. So he's suicidal. Demonic. If your child is having suicidal thoughts, don't brush it off as insignificant. Amen. Amen. Don't brush it off as a passing whim. Amen. Just a stage in life. No, call on God for deliverance. Ask God for some help. Amen. The enemy may be afflicting your mind. Call on God and ask Him to help you. He may be afflicting the mind of a loved one. Call on God. Don't dismiss it as nothing. Don't diminish it as insignificant. Amen. Jesus can help you. Jesus can help you. Now, in this case, I just got to point out, this boy didn't come to Jesus on his own. He did not come to Jesus on his own. His daddy didn't drag him to Jesus. At least it don't say that he did. Doesn't look like he did. But his daddy got to Jesus. And his daddy brought his boy to Jesus. I read something the other day, and I haven't had the opportunity to look it up, but this man said that he'd studied the Gospels. He said in the Gospels there are 40 individuals that Jesus healed. 34 of those was brought by somebody else. Only 6 of them came on their own. I'm glad somebody took me to church. I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus. I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Yes, yes, yes. I'm telling you, there's people out there never come if you don't invite them. Amen. There's people out there that'll never get saved if you don't pray for them. Amen. But that daddy got his boy to God because daddy got to God. Amen. God help us get to God ourselves. Amen. Let me give you number three. I said I got 6 points. Let me get at least halfway done. Number three, this dad continued even after failure. Look at verse 16. He said, I brought him to thy disciples. Look at these sad words. And they could not cure him. He said, I took him to church. And church didn't help him. I sent him to Sunday school. Sunday school didn't help him. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. I'm using this symbolically. He heard the preaching. There's 9 powerful preachers down there at the foot of that mountain following the Lord. But he said it didn't help him. What's he going to do? He said, I tried. Lord, I tried. I took him to your disciples. I took him to your people. I saw where they were gathered. I saw they've helped others. These men have healed others. I came and brought him and tried, but they couldn't help. What's he going to do? Is he going to say, I guess my boy's just too bad. I guess his case is just too extreme. No. He said, I'm not giving up. He said, I'm going to get him to Jesus. I'm going to go above every one of them. I'm going to go to Jesus myself. Amen. Can I tell you, if the Sunday school teacher can't help him, get to Jesus. If the preacher can't help him, get to Jesus. Amen. You can call on God yourself. You can get some help yourself. Amen. Get humble with God. Get honest with God. Get serious with God. I believe you can get some help for your problem. Amen. Number four. This dad calmly accepted rebuke. Look at verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. I said, I'm not sure this rebuke was directed specifically at the father, rather at the crowd. I believe he is dealing with the whole crowd because he calls them a faithless and perverse generation. Not just this one man, the whole generation. But that final statement, bring him hither to me. Who's that to? Well, that's directly to the Father. So here's the idea. I think it's right. Whether or not Jesus was singling this dad out as a faithless and perverse generation, he is saying you're in this faithless and perverse generation. Whether or not he's singling him out as the problem, he is singling him out as part of the problem. You don't believe. That's your problem. Faithless. No faith. He said, bring him hither to me. Now, rather than taking offense at the Lord's statements, rather than getting mad and going home, this man bowed his knee. This man accepted his position. He took the rebuke. Amen. He listened to the voice of Jesus. He obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Amen. Now, in Mark's gospel, I said he gives us more account, and I didn't read it just for sake of time, but gives us more details. In that, he has the Father actually saying this, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If thou canst do anything. Does that sound like faith? Lord, it's so bad. Your 9 disciples at the foot of the mountain couldn't help him. It's so bad. I tried, but he couldn't get help. They tried, but they couldn't help him. Lord, if there's anything you can do, that's how it come down. If there's anything you can do, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, take that if off me and put it on you. He said, if thou canst believe. Right? That's the next verse. Amen. In Mark's gospel. If thou, here's what he said. Get the if off me. You take the if. And if you'll accept the if, there'll be hope for you. That's right. It ain't if I can do anything. It's if you can believe. Amen. If you can believe. Now listen, Jesus is not saying just, you know, just positive thinking. No, he's talking about believing in God, believing what God has said. What's he to believe? He's to believe that Jesus is the promised Son of God. He's to believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. That's what he's got to believe. By the way, that's what we got to believe. Oh, I know we might have family members that's bad. I mean bad off. And it seems like the more we've tried to help them, the worse they get. I'll tell you what, don't give up hope in Jesus. Don't give up faith in him. Believe. That's what he said. Believe. Amen. He says Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. That's there in Mark 9. Amen. I said this man was rebuked. Did you know sin never gets help until it's rebuked? As long as you pet sin, as long as you coddle sin. Here's what Psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does regard mean? Well, regard, I pay my regards. What does it mean? I care about it. I care about it. I love it. It means something to me. That's what you're paying your regards, showing your regard. It means something to me. Here's what he said. He said, you're going to have to be rebuked for your sin. Sin never gets help unless it's rebuked. And listen to me. And if you bow up when it's rebuked, you still won't get help. Matter of fact, more than likely, you'll get worse. Right. But if you can take rebuke, and if you can say like the woman said when Jesus called her a dog, Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, I'm not going to deny being a dog. I'll be a dog if you'll give me a crumb. Amen. Come to Jesus and listen, take the rebuke and go to him and ask him for help. You can get help if you'll take the rebuke. Amen. Now, the rebuke from the Lord was not meant to send the father away. It was not meant to cause the son to flee from the Lord. No, rather it was to cause them to come running to Jesus. Amen. He said, bring him hither to me. Number five, this dad celebrated the victory. Verse number 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Now you might say, preacher, that don't say a thing about the father. What do you think the father's doing? Pouting or shouting? That's right. When that boy gets the help that dad's prayed for, that dad has tried and failed and tried and failed, and he's seen his son go through this over and over and over again and gradually grow worse and worse. Now he sees him cured from that very hour. You know he's rejoicing in the victory. Amen. Giving glory to the Savior. Amen. Jesus did the healing. The son got the deliverance. And the father shouted the victory. I believe that's right. Listen, all it took from the Lord was a word. He rebuked the devil. And he was cured. The child was cured from that very hour. Now here's the last point, and I'm done with this. And be honest, all this is good truth. I'm just being honest with you, good truth. Not because I'm preaching, because it's truth from the Scripture. But this last part may be the best truth of all. This dad conferred blessed information to believers. Look at verse number 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. It's after the father's left, after the crowd's gone. They pulled Jesus apart, looks like. Let me find it. And said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Not just the unbelief of the father or the unbelief of the crowd. What about the church believing God? Your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Look at verse 21. Howbeit, this kind cometh not forth, or not out, but by prayer and fasting. These disciples questioned the Lord why they were powerless. I mentioned to you that the Pharisees were there, the mockers were there, and that when Jesus came down from the mountain, in one of the Gospels, it talks about the tumult that was in the crowd. Now, there's different opinions about what that tumult was. If that son was having one of his fits, the Bible said that one place that he'd fall down foaming. That when the devil came out, and I believe it's Mark that says when the devil came out, that he tore the child and he fell as if dead. By the way, the devil, when he can't do more, he'll do all he can to hurt you. But there's only so far he can go. Jesus can command him to leave. Amen. And he did in this case. But if this child was having one of his fits, of course there'd be a tumult in the crowd. But how about this? Here's Pharisees that don't believe in Jesus anyhow. Here's Sadducees that don't believe in Jesus anyhow. Scribes don't believe in Jesus anyhow. You unbelievers, mockers that come just to mock the Lord, but he ain't even there. Well, if they can't mock him, who are they going to mock? The disciples. When are they going to mock? Especially when they see him powerless. Especially when they see him fail. Right? They see a man that has a need, and by the way, they can't help him, and they ain't even trying to help him. These disciples of the Lord at least tried to help him, but they couldn't help him. And so they're mocking. Here's these disciples saying, Lord, why could we not cast this out? Can I tell you something? The church ought to get concerned about our powerlessness. Amen. For several reasons. One being, we've got a testimony among the people. They're watching. If they say, well, the church don't have any power, then what does that do? That brings shame on the church and shame on our Lord. For his testimony's sake. Amen. For his reputation's sake, we ought to be concerned about our powerlessness. Amen. But this dad tells us, I mean, he don't tell us, but he causes us to know this. Nowhere else in your King James Bible is this truth told. This kind, words of our Lord, cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. By the way, if you've got another version of the Bible, it don't say that. They don't, those other versions don't tell you how this kind can come out. Because they leave out the words of our Lord. But our King James Bible, by the good grace of God, tells us there's some problems so bad that nothing's going to solve them until we get serious, we get determined to the point that we will pray and fast. By the way, fasting ain't fun. Amen. Praying's not fun, it's work. But prayer and fasting is a diligence. It is a decision. Amen. Amen. Maybe the son don't make the right decision. You make a decision. Amen. That decision is, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to get a hold of God. Now, by the way, the answer's not in your prayer nor in your fasting. The answer's in heaven. But heaven recognizes when God's people pray and fast. Jesus tells us this story because this father got help for his son. Amen. Let's stand to our feet all over the house. Maybe you're here this morning. You got a loved one with a need. You got a loved one with a need. Maybe you're a father with a son that has a need. Can I tell you, get to Jesus for yourself. Honestly confess your need. I believe if we as a church, as saints of God, if we will honestly confess our need, if we'll bow our knee to him, whether at an altar, in a pew, behind a woodshed, out in the woods, in a pine thicket, wherever, if you'll find a place and bow your knee to God, bow your heart to God and call on him, honestly confessing your need or the need of another, you may well see God move in power. But it may take going another notch or another step, another level, because some problems are worse than others. Some things are harder than others. But for Jesus, nothing is impossible.